listening to Package Your Genius, a conversation designed to give you clarity on your calling and serve as a catalyst for your career. I'm your host, Amanda Miller Littlejohn. I am excited to be back for yet another episode of Package Your Genius. Hope you're doing good. Hope your week is going well. Hope all is flowing well for you. And, you know, you've been up to some amazing things. I have been having a ball with Package Your Genius, the book, which has really brought up a lot of stuff for me that I wanted to share with you on this week's episode. I recently wrote about how the decision to move forward with the self-publishing process wasn't one that I made easily. I had to really overcome my issues with not kind of being where I thought I should be in that process. But by betting on myself and pushing it out there and just kind of saying, okay, you know what, Amanda, I'm going to ignore all of these crazy voices that are telling you not to do this and telling you to hold back and trying to really keep your ideas and your genius from reaching more people. I'm going to ignore that. And I am going to, bet on the assumption that there are people who want this, who need this, and who want to hear from you still. And so the process of just taking those steps and betting more on the possibility of what could be and embracing that possibility versus staying mired in the overthinking and the self-doubt just encouraged me in a way that I wanted to further encourage you, because honestly, the act of putting my book out there and seeing how well it's been received so far and seeing how it's just energized me anew around my work has just been so awesome. And it just makes me feel silly almost for having those self-defeating thoughts in the first place. And it's something that I'm seeing mirrored in the work that I'm doing with clients in terms of the stories that they bring me, right? So as you may know, I am a personal branding advisor, and my unique focus is high achievers, and specifically high achievers of color. And typically, when you're talking to people who have been hardworking for the majority of their lifetimes, you know, starting in elementary and middle school, making good grades, you know, winning awards, excelling, getting scholarships, getting recognized for academic performance and leadership performance, and just kind of staying on that track, that high achieving track, they typically get to a point, I would say around the mid-30s, approaching 40, where they really stop to assess all the work that they've done up to this point and what it's all adding up to. And oftentimes, you know, they struggle with the paradox of hearing others praise them and speak so highly of them and tell them how amazing they are, with that internal feeling of being just okay, right? Like, oh, okay, I know I work hard and I know I do good things, but like, I'm not even necessarily trying as hard as I know I can. Like, this is not my best effort. This is not my A game. And yet I'm still getting praised for it. Or the things that I get praised for come so easily to me and for me that it's really difficult to embrace that it's something special. And so the idea of imposter syndrome is a theme that is echoed time and time again from both clients that I see individually, people I speak to at speaking engagements, or people who reach out to me via email, and the students that I work with in Package Your Genius Academy. And so the experience for me of publishing Package Your Genius and just seeing how much it is helping you guys and is supporting you and opening your eyes and helping you get clear on your personal brands and create that plan to put yourselves out there made me really think how high a price we pay for the imposter syndrome that we find ourselves kind of living under, right? It's like you think, oh, I have imposter syndrome and it's only hurting me, but really it the price we all pay for you not sharing your genius because you are downplaying it, you don't think it's good enough, it's not ready yet, or what have you, the cost is incalculable, right? Or is it incalculable? I don't know. I'll look it up and I'll put it in the show notes, which word I need to be using. Because I know you high achievers are sticklers for grammar and language, so I need to get it right, right? So anyway, it's a high price that we're paying personally and professionally, but it's a high price that the world at large is having to pay by not being able to get the amazing ideas, breakthroughs, etc., that could come as a consequence of us putting our ideas into the world. And so having that realization on the heels of publishing Package Your Genius just made me think about how critical it is for me to really move past imposter syndrome as it shows up in my life, but to also encourage you to move past it as well. And so I came up with a couple of ways that we can begin to not just recognize imposter syndrome or the idea of not being good enough despite evidence that would support the fact that, no, we are good enough. So instead of just acknowledging it, how do we move past it? How do we, figure out that we've got it? But if we want to get into action and start achieving our dreams, how do we do that? And before I jump into my tips, I want to give you a quick definition so we make sure we're on the same page. So imposter syndrome, also known as imposter phenomenon, imposterism, fraud syndrome, or the imposter experience, is a psychological pattern in which an individual doubts their accomplishments and has a persistent internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. Despite external evidence of their competence, those experiencing this phenomenon remain convinced that they are frauds and do not deserve all they have achieved. Individuals with imposterism incorrectly attribute their success to luck or as a result of deceiving others into thinking they are more intelligent than they perceive themselves to be. While early research focused on the prevalence among high-achieving women, imposter syndrome has been recognized to affect both men and women equally. Imposter syndrome is not a mental disorder, yet there is research describing various management styles for this internal experience. So if that sounds familiar at all to you, whether it is reflective of your own experience or something that you've seen with other people, I wanted to share some tips for how you can move past it. Now, I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a doctor. So I can't prescribe you a course of treatment. But I wanted to share strategies that I've used and I've suggested to clients to help them begin to see themselves more clearly and get into action despite the experience of imposter phenomenon or imposter syndrome. And I personally think that action is an antidote to imposter syndrome. And the more that we can see results and prove ourselves wrong, the more we can get over it. And I know it's a slippery slope because for high achievers, you know, we tell ourselves we have to do more and more and more to almost earn the success that we already have, or to earn our status or hold our place. So I'm not saying, you know, keep achieving in order to feel that you're worthy of the success and the praise that you're receiving. I'm simply saying if you have things that you want to do and you've been holding yourself back because you've told yourself that you're not good enough or that your ideas have been done before and that you're not really the person that has been called to bring them to the world, these strategies will help you fulfill your mission to get your big ideas, your dreams, your projects, your businesses, or whatever it is that you've got on your heart. These strategies will help you make them happen despite feeling like a fraud. And so it's my hope that in the doing, like it's been for me, you know, doing the thing that I was afraid to do helped me feel helped me own the fact that I am the person who is meant to do all of these great things. Okay, so here are the five things. So number one, at a certain point, you have to choose to believe it, right? Everyone can't be gassing you up. You know, you hear people complimenting you, telling you you're amazing, telling you you're the smartest thing since, you know, I don't know, someone really smart. And you're the most creative person ever. You're the best strategist, writer, thinker, whatever you're getting called. And you keep hearing this time and time again from different people. I mean, everyone can't just be telling you things to make you smile or to, you know, curry favor with you, right? There has to be a kernel of truth when you've heard things more than once and from more than one source. So at a certain point, just decide that you're going to believe the good things that are said about you. That's number one. Another strategy is to, number two, make a list of your actual accomplishments. Make a list of your actual accomplishments. Really embrace the things you've done. I think one of the things that we tend to do is when we're high achieving, we achieve. And it's like we never stop to reflect on what we have achieved. And we never stop to kind of be present in the moment of achievement and be present to the fact that we've done amazing things, and we need to embrace that and own that and see ourselves for the men and women that we are. We're just on to the very next thing. So slowing down to make a list of what you've done, the impressive things that you think are amazing about your work and about you as a person, so that you can kind of just take it all in, can be really helpful. I remember doing that a few years ago. I'm trying to think, what year was that? I don't know, but it was several years ago. I just made this list and I typed it up and I made it really pretty and I put it on my cork board in my office near my desk. And sometimes I would just look at that list of things that were quite notable and it would make me smile. It would make me feel good. It would remind me that, you know, in my quest to do more, I've already done quite a bit and I should be really proud of that. And I should embrace that. And I should bring that energy of accomplishment and pride to each day instead of, you know, the sense of always striving for more and wanting to, you know, best my best, right? I should also be excited and proud of myself and showing up with confidence because I've already done the work. So that's to make a list of your accomplishments. Then number three, make a list of the compliments that you often receive from others. So especially if you hear the same narrative, the same compliment, the same praise over and over again, and you've heard that from different sources, make a list of those things that you often hear. Because I think it'll give you good perspective on how the world sees you and the impact that you're making for other people, even if you don't realize it, right? I love to tell the story of the client who had hired me several times for different things that I offered over the years. So at first it was social media strategy. Later it was, you know, media placements, PR, and then later it was coaching. And then later it was like, you know, PR and personal brand strategy. And she got my box, the branding box. And I remember her telling me that the thing that mattered the most or the thing that had made the most difference to her was not me helping her with social media campaigns or landing her television interviews, but it was me encouraging her to see herself more clearly and to embrace that she had even more possibility than she had allowed herself to think about, right? So me giving her that permission and helping her see herself and fully to see that she was more than her current job, that she was more than even the status of her organization. You know, she had a ton of potential she yet to fulfill. And if she gave herself permission to go for it, she could do even more than she'd already done. And so that was the thing that she valued most. So, you know, if I just made a list of the things that I thought that I'd done well with her, I think the list would have been much shorter. But then when I thought about the things that she'd mirrored back to me in terms of the praise that she'd given me and how she told me I helped her, you know, I uncovered a whole new set of things and a whole new set of ways that I was adding value. So make a list of the compliments that you receive from other people. Number four. And then this kind of connects to number three. Make a list of the reasons why someone might think so highly of you, right? So if you are continuously getting compliments about, say, for instance, your parenting, make a list of evidence. Like, what are the points of evidence that point to you being an amazing parent? You know, your kids are really well behaved. Well, they actually do make great grades. They're good friends to your friends, and they're kind to adults and very respectful of, you know, people in the community. They love to volunteer and give back. Like, make a list of reasons why people might give you the compliments that they're giving you. And I think as you do that and you almost kind of attack it, from this external standpoint of not saying, well, I'm a good mom because of this, but you say, if people are always saying I'm a great parent, what could they be talking about? Like, what could they be looking at to even make that statement? Like, what are the pieces of evidence that point to that? And look around and see if you can find them. And inevitably, what happens is as you begin to look for the evidence to see what other people are seeing, you can start to see it yourself. So that's number four. And number five, this is an exercise I gave to a client. I give this to clients actually often, and it's really, really effective. So not to brag, right? But I want you to make a list of the things you've done that most people in your network have not been able to do. Right? So, you know, what have most people in your family not done that you've done? What have most people in your friend group, what have you done that most people in your friend group haven't done? What have you done that most people in your industry haven't done? What have you done that most people your age haven't done? What have you done that most people your gender or your race or your level, people with your job title, what have you done that most people who have that same title haven't done, right? So when you think about your family, you know, I'll say for me, most people in my family haven't been in business for 10 years for themselves. Most people in my family haven't launched a podcast. Most people in my family haven't written a book. And most people in my family haven't helped their children write and publish 3 books, right? So I think once you begin to pull out how you're exceptional in comparison to the people who are around you, you can really start to embrace and understand what other people see when they give you this praise. And this is not to say that you should rest on your laurels or you should stop doing the things that make you exceptional and make you high achieving and make you great. But somewhere along the way, I think it is important for you to begin to understand that you're amazing, right? Like, you're a bad, bad girl or boy, because I know there are men who listen to the podcast as well. But, you know, you are the truth. And the reason why people continue to heap praise on you is because you're inspiring them by doing amazing things that they have yet to do and maybe they want to do, and they just haven't had the chance to do it yet. I know that high achievers are a skeptical bunch. We have naturally high standards, and that's what makes us excellent. That's what makes us high achieving, right? That's what helps us reach higher heights and do all these amazing things. But we have to be really careful and take care of ourselves and remind ourselves that, you know, we've done the work, we're doing great, we are making a difference because we want to be able to enjoy the fruits of our achievement. We want to be able to enjoy the fruits of our labor, all of this hard work. Other people are getting the benefit of it because other people are growing through what we're able to do and how we're able to help them. We deserve the opportunity to enjoy that success and to enjoy the peace that comes with knowing you're doing great, you're helping people, and you're doing what you were put on earth to do. So I hope that was helpful for you. I hope those five tips are really, really helpful and can empower you to move beyond imposter syndrome. I want to encourage you again, if you have not yet, get you a copy of Package Your Genius, 5 Steps to Build Your Most Powerful Personal Brand. We are trending, ranking, whatever you want to call it, on Amazon in the public relations category, especially this past week. We've been in the top 20 books. It's fluctuated. You know, Amazon updates the bestsellers hourly. So the highest I've seen the book ranked is number 18 in all of public relations best-selling titles, which is crazy to me to see this book, you know, next to books by people like David Meerman Scott, who I remember reading a decade ago when I was starting my PR business. And I remember going to see him speak at different public relations conferences and just really being starstruck because this is a person whose ideas I've read and consumed, and they really helped me to grow as a practitioner. Here I am, you know, seeing my book on Amazon anyway, next to his or near his titles, and to know that, you know, we are in the same company. It feels kind of good. So get a copy of the book. It's amazing. I break down the 5 steps for you to build your most powerful personal brand. And it's really, for those of you who are anti-fluff, which I am, and I think a lot of the people who are attracted to my work are as well. Like, we like the step-by-step, the tangible, the tactical. Don't give me a lot of fluff and inspiration. Of course, I need that. It's good. But show me what I can do, right, to move the needle on this thing. And so my book is not about becoming an Instagram influencer so that you can quit your day job and just make money from posting pictures of yourself lounging on vacation. It's really about figuring out how to communicate that you're the expert that you are and position yourself through your ideas as a thought leader. And it breaks down step by step how to do it. If you follow the steps, you will get there. So get a copy of the book. If you've already got the book and you've read it, please leave me a review on Amazon. What I've learned through this process is reviews really help the book stand out. And so that's something that could really be helpful to me, is if you just left your honest review of the book on the Amazon platform. And if you care to share that you read it with a friend, you can share by posting on social media, on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, or wherever you're social, posting about the book and letting people know how it helped you. That would mean the absolute world to me. Last but not least, I want to give a shout out to Connor Benjamin Littlejohn, also known as DJ Connor B on SoundCloud, for the amazing new theme music. I feel so official now because he wrote and composed this song just for me and just for the Package Your Genius community and podcast. So shout him out. He's on SoundCloud at DJ Connor B. Leave him a note, or, you know, give him a nudge to let him know you hear him and you're enjoying his work. And if any of you have podcasts that you're launching and you need some original theme music, let me know. Let Connor know, because he's always looking to expand his repertoire and his portfolio, and he loves creating new soundscapes, and he'd be thrilled to, you know, try his hand at creating something new for you. So let me know if that's something you'd be interested in, and I'll absolutely pass that along. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Package Your Genius. Join us in the Facebook group to talk about it and to connect throughout the week, and I'll see you next week.